Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Hebrews chapter 6. In verse 13, when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply you. And so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. God made promise to Abraham. The word promise is the word epagelemos. It's an aorist middle participle of epageleo. Now, the fact that it's a middle participle, middle voice means the subject produces the action of the verb, but also receives the benefit. We don't always think about God's promises as being beneficial, not just to us, but to God also. Well, God made promise to Abraham. The word epageleo, from which this comes, is to tell or declare, to proclaim as a public announcement or decree. God spoke something to Abraham. It was a promise. He made it for not just Abraham's sake. He made it for his own sake. Why would God do that? Why does God give Abraham a promise for his own sake? Because Abraham believed God and he was called a friend of God. God said about Abraham, shall I withhold from my friend what I'm going to do, when he was about to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah? So God was developing a friendship through the promises of God to Abraham. He does that with us. God develops a friendship with us through his promises. The relationship that we have is a faith-based relationship, which in Romans 1:17 and Romans 3:22 is the source of our righteousness. Righteousness not merely being right standing with God, but really the relationship that we have with God that produces the right standing with God. And so God is developing a relationship with us through the promises of God. God is developing a relationship with us through blessing us. God wanted to enjoy his relationship with Abraham just as much as he wanted Abraham to enjoy his relationship to God. We were made for that relationship. God desires it, and he desires for us to have it also. He couldn't swear by anyone greater than himself, so he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless. Blessing is the word eulogon. It's a present active participle of eulogeo, which means to speak well of. It's from the word you, good, and logos, word. In other words, he's saying, I will speak a good word. Surely I will speak a good word. I will bless, that's the same word except future, you and multiply you. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Now, in Jeremiah 29:11, God says, I know the thoughts that I have toward you. Thoughts of peace and not of evil. To produce an expected end. Now, in Luke 6:45, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. God says, blessing, in other words, surely, I will speak well of you. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. I will bless you. I will speak well of you. I will proclaim good things regarding you. Out of the abundance of the heart, God says these proclamations. I know the thoughts. Here's the abundance of God's heart. I know the thoughts. That word is makashaba. And it's a contrivance of details to produce a certain effect, intentions, plan, and texture. The texture that it's referring to is almost like what we would call today a flavor. There's a certain flavor to things, a certain texture to them. God's texture, God's flavor to things is of a certain type. You know how you can just sense that something is God and something isn't? It has a right sense to it, a right flavor, a right texture to it. Or sometimes it doesn't. God says, I know the contrivances of details to produce certain effects. I know the intentions, I know the plan, and I know the feel of these things that I think toward you. Think is the word kashab, and it means weave, fabricate, plot, or contrive. It's not just about God's thoughts. God's thoughts are God's plan. God's thoughts are God's purpose. There's a certain quality to those thoughts. We can recognize them according to that quality. He says, I know the plan, I know the contrivance of details that I'm putting together, and I know the purpose for which I'm putting them together. I know how to put them together. I know what to do and when to do it. And he said, these contrivances, these thoughts, these plans, these purposes are purposes of peace and not of evil. Evil is the word ra, and it means malignity, affliction, misery, unhappiness, injury, wrong, and distress. All the negative things that sometimes we ascribe to God's intentions, especially when we feel guilty or condemned, if we are carnally minded, God says, that's not me. That's not how I operate. That's not who I am. That's not what I'm thinking. That's not what I'm planning. There are times when people fail and they're afraid to come to God. Sometimes people fail and they're afraid to come to church. They start to withdraw from church, from the people of God. That is a way of trying to hide from God. Just like Adam did in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 9 and 10. He hid from God. Why? Because he was afraid. People hide from God still. Why? Because they're afraid. Why are they afraid? Because they think that the plan of God, that the purpose of God for one who fails is going to be evil. It is going to be malignant in some way. That it's going to cause some form of injury or wrong or distress or unhappiness. That's not God. God doesn't function that way. The plan that God has is to bless. I don't care who you are. The plan that God has is to bless. He blesses you through promises, which develop a relationship. But the bottom line of it is, the plan that God has is to bless. The relationship he desires to have with you is one to bless you. Why does he say to people, focus on Christ? Because he wants to bless them. Why is it that in Israel, when the Israelites murmured, they got tired of the same food every day and they got to murmuring, and he sent the serpents? And all of a sudden Israel cried out. Why did he send the serpents? Because through self-orientation, they lost being blessed. You could put it this way. Through self-orientation, they lost their relationship to God. And in losing their relationship to God, they went to the only place the old sin nature would take them, which was negativity, self-pity, difficulty in their emotions. So God sent something that could really cause difficulty to wake them up. And he said, if you gaze on the brazen serpent that I commanded Moses to make, which was a type for Christ himself, then you will live regardless of being bitten or not. But if you do not gaze at the brazen serpent, you will die. In other words, if you enter into the blessing of the relationship, and let that be in the forefront of your mind, let that be your portion, let that be your focus, then no matter what negative situation you may encounter, you will be blessed. It's like that all the time. You will be blessed. Richard Warmbrand, 14 years in the communist prison, the first 8 years he spends with violent criminals and people in prison for politics. While he was there, he became extremely ill. They sent him into a room where they put only severely ill inmates. Richard Warmbrand was the only person to have ever left that room alive. Every other inmate that was sent to that room died there. He had the richest ministry he had ever had as a pastor, as a world-renowned pastor, before being sent to prison by the communists. He said that was the best ministry he has ever had. He won one person after another to Christ. He said it was amazing. Now, he was deathly ill. But he would not look at himself. He would not look at his circumstance. He kept his gaze focused on the nature of God. At one point, he could not even remember a single verse in the Bible. He was in solitary confinement at that point. He could not remember one verse, and he was so distraught. And an angel came to him in his cell, he said. And the angel asked him, "Do you love Jesus?" And Warmbrand said, "With all my heart." And the angel said to him, "Well, Jesus loves you too." And that was all he needed. He didn't have to worry any longer about whether he could remember anything or not. He didn't have to worry about his circumstances any longer. I'm not saying he enjoyed his circumstances, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying they became easier, he was tortured. I'm saying that he was blessed in the midst of his very difficult circumstances. God desires to bless you no matter what the circumstance. It doesn't matter what negative thing is happening around you. It doesn't even matter what negative thing is happening to you. God desires to bless you in every circumstance. Warmbrand's heart was that he loved Jesus. That's what he needed. That's what kept him from being consumed by his circumstances. He loved Jesus. That was his focus. He goes into that room and he starts witnessing to dying prisoners. And one prisoner after another, he would witness to them. They would die, they would bring in a new one. He would witness to them. They get saved, they die, they would bring in a new one. He'd witness to them, they'd get saved, they'd die, and they would bring in a new one. A whole lot of people got saved in that death room. Because Warmbrand kept his eye on the love of God. His circumstance was very difficult, but he called it the best ministry he had ever had. He made an amazing impact in the kingdom of God as a deathly ill man, surrounded by other deathly ill men, in a room where nobody left. But the kingdom was functioning. and it functioned because God blessed Wormbrand. God blessed him because he kept his focus on the love of God. God desires to bless you in all circumstances. Now, if a person is saying, I'm doing great, God is good, wonderful. If a person is saying, my family is excellent, I have no problems, my job is secure, I'm making a good salary, I have a nice house, my kids are following Christ, everything is going great, even my dog is wonderful. I'm really happy for you, more power to you. But if a person is saying, everything's falling apart, my kids are doing drugs, one of my kids is in jail, I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to keep my job, I have a huge debt, my wife just walked out on me, whatever, my husband just walked out on me, I've got all these problems, but I know God loves me. I know He's got a purpose for me. I know this is part of His plan, I don't get exactly how it works, but I know this is His plan, I know He's going to take care of me. I'm going to see him come through. You're absolutely right. You will see him come through. That's a person who's being blessed. Blessing is not in your circumstances or in the absence of circumstances. Blessing is because you've got a relationship going on with God. Because your focus is on the love of God, you are receiving the love of God. And when you receive the love of God, it's like nothing else in the world. Nothing can do for you what the love of God can. The love of God protects your heart. The love of God protects your mind. It even protects your perceptions. Wormbrand said that was the best experience as he was suffering in prison among dying prisoners. He said that was the best experience. He was blessed. The way that God blesses you is not circumstantial. Yes, often there'll be circumstantial blessings. Yes, often He'll bless you with things like money or cars or houses or people or what have you. That is a part of it, but that's not the determining factor. Some people in the prosperity crowd think that God's blessing is tangible, always material, always what you have. That has nothing to do with being blessed. I know of plenty of people who are miserable with great wealth. It always astonishes me, some of these celebrities, these Hollywood types, they have incredible success. They have tremendous amounts of money. They can have anything they want. And they're sucking on a $12 bottle of booze or they're snorting cocaine. Why? Because they're not being blessed. Their life is about themselves and their circumstances, albeit they did manage to get a lot of material benefits, their circumstances didn't bless them. Their success was not a blessing to them. They're looking for something more. They're looking for something satisfying. I remember this one famous actor. He's been featured on a number of Christian programs. He said, I clawed my way to the top. It took years and years. So I worked incredibly hard to get to the top. And I finally got to the top. I finally had success. I got to the top. And when I arrived at the top, I looked around and there was nothing there. It was an illusion. The best that the world has to offer is an illusion. The best that Satan has to offer is an illusion. It's a deception. God has blessings to offer that are real, that are tangible, that are substantial. God has blessings to offer that are life transforming, and He offers them through relationship. In a relationship with God, you find everything that you need. Let's say a person is facing a difficult situation, but they're not focusing on it through their relationship to Christ. They're focusing on it through natural means. They look at the circumstances They look at the people. They look at the difficulty or the negative elements of it. And because they're not approaching it with the mind of Christ, they are necessarily approaching it with their emotions. And their emotions respond negatively to the circumstance. Well, if I'm not going to approach things through the mind of Christ, I don't have much of a choice what I approach it with. It's going to be in my emotions. The problem is that the emotions have no capacity for any intelligent thought. And that's why people, when they lose it in their emotions, are often very irrational. Because the emotions have absolutely no ability for intelligent, rational thought. They sense, they feel, they're powerful, but they're not intelligent. In other words, they don't think. They only respond. They don't think. But because they're powerful, the person is thinking, and the mind responds to the emotions as opposed to the emotions responding to the mind. And then every circumstance that is challenging and difficult will be seen as negative, will be seen as in some way unfavorable, hurtful, whatever you want to call it. It will always come out in a negative light because there's nothing positive to approach it with. When you see your difficult situations through a mind of Christ, then you have all the resources of Christ, who is God, at your disposal because you have a relationship that you're functioning in. The amazing thing about functioning in this way with God is that you're functioning not only a relationship to another person, so to speak, but you are functioning a relationship to someone that you are one person with. In other words, through that relationship, you start to experience what God has positionally given you as the Holy Spirit has entered into you, and now you possess all things because God Almighty dwells within you, and He says, "You are my body," in 1 Corinthians 12:27. If I'm the body of Christ, and Christ is God, and these are first-class subjunctives, if and it is so, well, if I'm the body of Christ and Christ is God, that means that all things that belong to God belong to me. If I have the mind of God through the Word of God, and I'm thinking with the Word of God, then all the thoughts that I possess are the thoughts of God. All the ways that I analyze my circumstances are the way God sees them, and the blessings that I receive through those circumstances become obvious. They're not subtle. Warren Brand's in this brutal place, and yes, he is having the time of his life. Because he was functioning in a relationship. You're blessed when you function in a relationship to God. You are cursed when you function outside of your relationship to God. It's simple as that. I will have no options but to live in the curse of the old sin nature if I'm not living in the fullness of Christ. Pastor Stevens always used to say, and he was 100% correct, you are either entirely 100% spiritual or you are entirely 100% carnal. There is no in between. There's no such thing as 1% carnal and 99% spiritual. It's all carnal. Why? Because carnality is functioning in my old sin nature. So if I'm saying I'm 99% spiritual, or more people would say, well, I'm 70%, maybe 60% spiritual, the rest of it is carnal, but at least I have my 60%. You're deceived. No such thing. That person, through self-orientation, in 60% of their life is living at the good side of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and 40% of their life they're recognizing that they live at the evil side of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And they call the good side spiritual, and they call the evil side carnal, but it's the same tree and it all belongs to Satan, Ezekiel 31:18. Do you understand? Please recognize this. When you function in self-orientation, you are literally functioning under the governmental authority of the devil. That's why when Adam and Eve had their eyes open, they knew they were naked in Genesis 3:7. Because they were living in self-orientation. Naked was not a problem, but Satan turns completely fine things into problems. Satan creates problems through self-orientation that nobody needs to possess, but they will adopt them because they see things through the eyes of self. That's not being blessed. This person will find things impossible to deal with. Victory will always elude them because they're not turning to where victory is found. If I avoid the solutions, I'll never find the solutions. Now here's the thing about the solutions. They require humility. If I yield to the Word of God, and that is, in its essence, humility, then I will develop relationship. If I develop relationship, I will find my solutions. If I find my solutions, I'll find all the other provisions also that that relationship yields. I'll be blessed. Why are people without hope? Because they're looking away from hope. If I only look at that which is difficult, then what positive thing will I find? Why do you stare at stuff you don't need to look at? And the more you stare at it, the bigger it becomes. When it's in truth very small, but you can't see that it's very small because you're looking at it through the eyes of self. Everything is tiny when you see it through the eyes of God. Sometimes people who live in self-orientation can't figure other people out. They don't understand why that thing, that situation, whatever, doesn't bother them. Sometimes those people will be accused of not caring or not understanding. Because the person who is in that self-oriented spot has no capacity to see anything beyond themselves. And that person who is thinking with God sees everything beyond themselves. One person says, I have this enormous problem, and the other person says, I have this enormous solution. One person says, I can't figure out how I'm going to be blessed, and the other person says, I can't avoid being blessed. One person says, I can't get an answer to prayer, the other person says, my entire life is an answer to prayer. What's the difference? Relationship. You're blessed through relationship. With God, we really do get the benefits of association. Because it's not just a casual meeting place. It's a oneness with the Almighty. Self-orientation is the direct opposite of the cross. That's why Adam and Eve were fine until they became self-oriented. That's why everybody else who has ever lived was fine so long as they were not self-oriented. Because self-orientation is the direct opposite of the cross. The cross in Galatians 2:20 is where there's an abundance of light. So, when I go to the cross through the Word of God, producing God's frame of reference in me so that I develop God's character, which pushes aside my sin nature, not away, but just aside. I don't live in it any longer. There's a cross produced in me, and the result is the life of God, being amazingly blessed because I'm living the life of the one new man. I'm getting to enjoy who I actually am, living in the fullness of my design as opposed to fighting against my design. Who in the world is not going to be depressed if they're fighting against their design? You're not designed for self-orientation. You're designed for a relationship with God. You're not designed to deal with problems. You're designed to overcome problems with a relationship with God. You're not designed to look at things that are negative. You're designed to see things through the eyes of God. Ecclesiastes 3:11 says, God puts eternal perspective into your frame of reference, and that way you can understand what God is doing from the beginning to the end. When you understand the purpose of even the negative things, they stop being negative. It's like somebody says, you know, I went to this hospital and they cut me there. And they knocked me out. And they took organs out, or they took parts out. And then they took a needle and they sewed me back up. And they gave me all these needles and liquid in them and stuff. Or somebody says, I went to the hospital, I got my gallbladder removed, now I feel so much better. It's all about how you're oriented. It's all about your perspective. Your perception is the result of your frame of reference. Your relationship becomes your perspective because it develops a frame of reference through God's mind in you, and you see things through God's eyes. Tell me, God, what's a problem? God says, in me there is no such thing. So the only problem that exists is a focus apart from God. And then everything is a problem. Because that is the only problem. And so the person goes to the Word of God, they receive the Word of God, they think with the Word of God. Ah, there's the one that requires the humility. Think with the Word of God, not through self-oriented glasses, not through self-righteousness, not through self-centeredness, and please not through self-pity. Once you enter into self-pity, you are in deep prison. Keep yourselves in the love of God so that you see everything through the heart of God, including your circumstances. You'll be blessed in your relationship, and you'll be cursed outside of it. If you want to be blessed, keep nurturing that relationship. Don't ever blame other people for your sin nature. That's what people do when they try to protect their carnality. Because they say, I'm not responsible. Those people are. And then there's no responsibility on their part for a relationship. Don't you know that if God brings difficult people into your life, it's because they need your portion? Don't blame them. Be a portion that God has made you into. But if you're self-oriented, you'll never get there because it will always be about you. Blessings come through relationship. For some reason, this is a religious mindset, but a lot of Christians who don't even recognize that they're religious are deeply religious as opposed to deeply spiritual. And by spiritual, I don't mean some vague, emotional, mystical, pie-in-the-sky thing like so many celebrities are into. I'm talking about a relationship with the Holy Spirit. If you want to be victorious, live in your relationship to God. How do I live in my relationship to God? John 15:5 says, keep yourself in the love of God and keep the word of God in your frame of reference. Then you'll not only have a relationship to God. In verse 7, will you not only get answered to prayer, but you will have great love. So that means you will have great long-suffering patience. You will have great kindness. You will have the ability to never think in an evil fashion. And when you do, you'll have the ability to immediately rebound when you fail. You'll have the ability to not see things in a negative light. You'll have all the ability of God's heart, and you will have faith that has real life to it. You'll have love. If you are in self-orientation, and by self-orientation, I'm not talking about like a pouty, bratty kid who's just self-centered about everything. Most adults are not like that. Some of them are, but most aren't. Most adults are much more sophisticated about their carnality. They don't necessarily reveal it outwardly, but inwardly they're raging. They have an element of limited self-control. But it doesn't transform their heart. It doesn't improve their experience. They still have the same problems and they end up with the same difficulties. You need to nurture your relationship to God if you want to be blessed. If you don't nurture that relationship to God, you will live in the curse of the old sin nature. You don't have a choice. There's no other option. It says in Deuteronomy 11:26, I set before you this day blessing and cursing. The blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and curse if you do not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside from the way which I command you today. There's your blessing, there's your curse. You apply the word of God, you're going to be blessed. It's simple. Apply the word of God, you will be blessed. Do not apply the word of God, you will be cursed. If you're having difficulties, if you're something you're struggling with, if there's something that's making you miserable, if there's something that you're not overcoming in, it's because you're not applying the word of God. And you're not applying the word of God because you have no power to apply it, even if you do receive it. And if you don't have any power to apply it, it's because you're lacking in the love of God, or you're lacking in the word of God, or both. So what do? Keep yourself in the love of God. In Jude 21, keep yourself in the love of God. If you don't possess the love of God, it's nobody's fault. It's that you have neglected something. If you are in the love of God, it's because you have not neglected something. Abide in my love, and my word abide in you, and you will produce much fruit. You will have much love and all the manifestations of love. That relationship with God, which makes you an overcomer, is where you are blessed. It's the only way to be blessed. You're not going to be blessed by your religious practices. You're not going to be blessed through religious traditions. You're not going to be blessed through religious activities. You're not going to be blessed through pretending they were not blessed by their fig leaves. You will be blessed through a relationship with God that is real and it's living and it's effectual and it has real results. That's where your blessing will come from. Otherwise, you live in the curse of the old sin nature. Everybody chooses. Nobody can choose for me. I choose. And even if I say I will not choose, I choose by default. I always choose. So choose to be blessed. Choose to keep yourself in the love of God and keep the Word of God in your frame of reference to build that relationship that allows you to receive all the fullness of who God is and what He wants you to become. There you'll have your provisions, your victory, your overcoming, and your blessings. Amen? If you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior, and you don't know where you're going to go when you die, simply pray, "Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I receive you as my Savior. Thank you for loving me so much that you died for me, so I can have eternal life with you. Amen."